The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said of Jesus, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? The kingdom is divided against itself. That kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they said he has an unclean spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. Today the church calls to mind what happened yesterday, 44 years ago. And that was possibly the saddest day in the history of the United States of America. The reason being is that January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court, with the decision Roe v. Wade, legalized the killing of innocent babies. Call it whatever you want, but it's a killing of innocent babies. We call it abortion, and some people even call it infanticide, rightfully so. So all throughout the country today, the masses are celebrated, calling to mind that horrendous day. Now, some people are very, very active in the pro-life cause, and praise the Lord. But all of us have to be involved in the pro-life cause in one way or another. So let's talk about ways that we can be involved in the pro-life cause, even though maybe we're not giving 100% of our free time to that cause, and some people do, which is very noble. First, I think we have to start with a philosophical, biological, theological principle. And it's this. And I think it's obvious for you people, but it's not obvious for everyone. When does human life begin? I think you have to start, in any argument, you have to start with that. When does human life begin? And I don't have to convince you people because you know it, and you've heard us preach on this the past 25 years in the parish, but I'll remind you. Human life begins at the moment of conception. You can use another term, the moment of fertilization. So in the moment of conception, that's when human life begins. So in arguing with any person, and you're going to be arguing with some relatives, some friends, some people at the school, at a party, you always have to start with that. And biology books in the past, when I went to school many years ago, biology books would actually say that. And those of you who are my age or older, you probably remember in Bali, you'd have that in those books. You know, what they say in the books today, I don't know. With the Common Core, they probably eliminated that. But classical biology books here, I don't know in the Philippines or Mexico, but that was actually stated. That was the truth. Okay, the next step is this. So human life begins at the moment of conception. The next question we have to ask is this. Who gives life? Who gives life? Can any of you tell me? Okay, God gives life. So if you're talking with believers, be it Catholics, Christians, Jews, even Muslims, no? But most Muslims are against abortion, very ironic, right? Is that you have to start with that, you've got the basic biological principle, then you have the theological principle. God gives life. God gives life. So, the moment of conception, a miracle happens. It's a miracle. The man and the woman provide the matter, sperm and the egg, man and the woman. However, when you have that moment of fertilization, God intervenes and He infuses in that zygote, is the biological word for it, okay? In that zygote, God infuses a soul. Not an animal soul, but a human soul. And a soul that will be living forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In catechism, that's called an immortal soul. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's why we say, husband and wife, if you read the Liturgy of the Hours today, very beautiful passage taken from Vatican II, taken from Lumen Gentium number 48, rather Gaudium et Spes, number 48, is that parents are called to procreate. What does that word mean, procreate? But it means you're called to collaborate, to collaborate with God in the acceptance of life, the transmission of life, and the formation of life. Okay? So I use three different ideas. The acceptance of life has to be accepted. The transmission of life, life has to be born. And the formation of life, once human life is brought to existence, parents have the obligation to form on a human level, on an intellectual level, but especially on a moral and spiritual level. So there we have it. Okay, we have a new president. What did our founding fathers say in the Constitution? George Washington and John Adams and Madison, they said that every human life is endowed with inalienable rights, which are, you know? You have to bring that in too. And pray that this new president will be faithful to his word, okay? Faithful to his word that he will do what? That he will appoint Supreme Court justices. I'm very optimistic. I don't know about you people, but I think we have to pray. I think there's a lot of optimism in hoping that this new president will be faithful to his word, that he will appoint and delegate new justices. And our hope is this. If we get enough pro-life justices, what can we do? We can have an amendment, which we can turn the tide. We can eliminate Roe versus Wade and have a clause in which we, as Americans, American citizens, and some who are not citizens yet, will promote life and to be faithful to our founding fathers. Our founding fathers believed in life. Inalienable rights. What does that mean? Rights that cannot be violated. They can't be violated of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now the other two, liberty and the pursuit of happiness, are contingent ideas that are dependent upon the fact that we first have life. If you're not born, you can't have liberty and you can't have happiness, right? That's logic 101. Huh? We first have to be born. So I'm waxing a little bit philosophical and theological this morning, because I really believe you can't have an argument on abortion unless you start with what I've given you the past 10 minutes. Right? You have to start off on that. Now, if the person you're arguing with does not accept that, the argument is over. Just going to be a shouting match, and I've never believed in shouting matches. Do you like shouting matches? Do you? Do they get anywhere? The only thing it ends with two people is sore throats that will end up with laryngitis, huh? It's never going to work. You shout at the person, he shouts back at you. You think Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are happy with that? Of course not. So if you see that the individual is not going to follow those first biological principles and theological truths, what I would do, I would pull back and say, look, you've got your ideas, I've got my ideas. Better for us just to separate than to be fighting with each other. But there are a lot of people in this country, most, that will accept what I've just said today. And St. Ignatius says you have to get the people to enter into silence, and they have to think. Think means they have to reason. Reason means utilizing logic and intelligence. So if you're dealing with intelligent people, these first logical presuppositions, they'll accept. Maybe they don't have a degree in philosophy or theology, but that's not important. Okay? Hopefully they have a degree in thinking clearly and logically. That's enough. Okay, one last idea, and this is biblical. We have a lot of Bible Christians in this country. There are many, many, many biblical passages that you can use to promote the pro-life cause. One might maybe be the gospel passage today you can use in an indirect way. Because behind abortion is the devil. Do you agree with that? Behind abortion is the devil. That's a strong statement, but it's true. Okay? Prove it to you. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 Jesus defined very clearly what is the work of the devil. The devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That says it all. Right? He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. How often those who are pro-choice utilize what are called euphemisms? Euphemism is linguistic manufacturing to try to explain something in such a way in which you're confusing the person. Full euphemism. Like pro-choice. Now that sounds pretty nice, right? If you're an American, you like that. Pro-choice. That means you are pro-freedom. But really what it is, it's pro-murder. And what they say also, terminating a pregnancy, that really doesn't sound that bad. It doesn't. Okay, listen. Terminating a pregnancy, killing an innocent baby. Big difference, huh? It's the same thing. However, see the difference in language? That's why it's important that we're able to really have proper language, proper expression in dealing with this topic. But the best biblical passage is, of course, what? The visitation. The visitation, which Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. They both have babies within them. Mary greets Elizabeth, and what happens? The baby leaps with joy in the womb of Elizabeth. And she said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That's interesting, isn't it? Who told Elizabeth that Mary was pregnant? The Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. That was a mystical insight that the Holy Spirit infused into Mary. Into Elizabeth, rather. "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" At the sound of your greeting, the baby leapt for joy. "Blessed are you who believe that these things of the Lord will be accomplished in you." There you have the best pro-life passage, I believe, in the Bible. These two pregnant women that would be counseled to have abortions in this country. Why? One was too young and the other was too old. But they both said yes to life, and they brought forth the greatest men in the world at that time, who were, of course, St. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So all of us today have to be involved in the pro-life movement. I would suggest first start off with this. Offer your communion, and if you're not in a hurry, offer the rosary that I'll be praying and the chaplet of Divine Mercy in reparation for the millions of abortions that have been done in the past 44 years. But also for prevention, that abortions will be prevented. And let's pray for our politicians. Pray fervently for them that in the very near future that we will have an amendment, that this country will no longer have the legalization of abortion. Amen.